You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on a beautiful Tuesday in Brevard County, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. You are tuned into the Refresh radio program here on 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And, you know, a lot of places I go, I start talking to people and tell them, you know, we have a radio program here. And they ask which station, and I start telling them, you know, 91.5 FM. And, you know, that may be one of the ways that you could help spread the word, not just about this program, but about the other great Bible preaching, teaching programs that are available here on 91.5 FM. I know a person, they're retired now. They came from a foreign country. They were living in Florida, and he said he was working on a golf course. And every day he would listen to Charles Stanley. And he came from an atheistic background, was not a believer, came from an atheistic country at that point in time. And every day he'd listen until Charles Stanley would have an expression and say, now listen to me. And he was like, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And he'd turn him off. But he kept coming back day after day after day. He became a Christian. He became a minister. And then he went back to his country as a missionary. And all of that because of Christian radio. So for those of you who listen, if nothing else, tell somebody about 91.5 FM. There's a lot of great programs on here. And we are thankful that you choose to spend a half hour with us each and every day. We are also thankful that through this program, we have been able to meet the folks at Treasure Your Landscape, Dan and Treasure and their great team. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. They're a licensed and insured family business. They're based in Brevard County. They live on Merritt Island. They travel all throughout the county, bringing their great services to the people of Brevard County. They have a full array of products. You can actually see some of the things that they can do up at Space Coast Nursery, 3880 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. But some of the things that they have to offer are landscaping services, premium artificial turf, not the cheap stuff that you can see and it's like, well, that doesn't look good. This stuff looks really amazing. They also do carefully designed putting greens. They do paver installation. That was one of the ways that I came to meet them. They install drains and downspouts. I've had them do that. They provide landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They can handle everything from design to planning and maintenance. They can transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. They love Jesus, and they're just a real joy to be able to converse with. And on top of that, they really, really do know what they're doing in the landscaping business. You don't want me as your landscaper. My wife and I killed an air fern, and that's true. That's not a hyperbole in any stretch of the imagination. The folks at Treasure Your Landscape, they are experts in what they do. They're passionate about what they do. They may be a great resource for you and your outdoor space. So we are thankful for their friendship and support of the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We had talked about on yesterday's program, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Relationship with Jesus makes a world of difference, not just in our eternal destination, but in the life that we live here on earth. Don't feel sorry for me because I'm a Christian. You know, the world kind of presents it as, oh no, you became a Christian, that means that you can't do anything fun anymore. And what it does mean is I am freed from the control of the things that the enemy wanted to use to bring damage and misery and heartache into my life and ultimately destroy my life. I am now liberated from that in order so that I can fulfill the purpose that God has for me. I can have life abundantly. I can rejoice in the Holy Spirit. I can have peace rather than fear. So please don't feel sorry for me as a Christian. I'm living the best quality of life that a person can live. I'm in love with Jesus. I've got people who love me, and I love people, and I get to do what God has called me to do. What a great way to live. So all of that is through Christ Jesus. Now, verse number 38 and 39 say this: For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So after making this statement, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, he uses this expression, for I am persuaded. Another place, Paul would write, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here, he is persuaded that nothing would be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let me ask you today, what are you persuaded about? See, the world will try and be very persuasive. They will try to get you to believe things that are not true and undermine and persuade you that things that are true aren't true. Listen, over the last 6 years, there were people who I thought that you could trust, that it comes to find out that the things that they were saying were not only not true, they knew that they were not true, and they were proclaiming them, proclaiming that authoritatively as truth, knowing that it wasn't. You know what that is? That's lying. That is deception. That's the language of hell, not the language of heaven. And as a result of that, I no longer allow them to persuade me to do anything. And so it might help if we looked and see what the word persuaded means. It means that I am confident and I trust in this statement of fact that is expressed here. So Paul is making a statement, and for him to say that he is persuaded like this, knowing how zealous he was in persecuting the church, and now not only is he making a proclamation with the words of his mouth, but he was making a declaration with the life that he lived on a regular basis and how intentionally he was about spreading the gospel. He was not only persuaded intellectually, he lived persuaded. He lived confident of what had happened to him on the Damascus Road. Have you had an encounter with God in such a way that it persuaded you to abandon the the destructive life that you were living, or the broad path that leads to destruction, and you're persuaded that the correct path is now the path that God has chosen, the path that says, Jesus, I need a Savior, and I'm thankful that you are that Savior, and that you love me. You know, the enemy tries to get people to believe that they're in a hopeless situation, that no one loves them, that no one cares about them, that, you know, the world would be better off without them. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Everybody has a purpose. And Paul says here, I am persuaded not only that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, but I am persuaded that absolutely nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. That's a very persuasive statement. When I was in Bible college, I was taking a class, and there's a section, it's the last section of the Old Testament. It's called the Minor Prophets. So after Ezekiel and Daniel, or Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel, then there's a book called Hosea. It's the first of the minor prophets. And the Bible college professor that we had talked about the prophet Hosea. The first couple of chapters describe his relationship with his wife. She had a compromised past. She was she'd been a prostitute, and after they were married, there were several kids. You have to go and read it, because it is a living picture of Israel's unfaithfulness to God, but it is also an example of, in Hosea, how much he loves his wife. Her name was Gomer. And all those ladies out there that are thankful that your name's not Gomer, you can raise your hand. All those guys out there that think thankful your name's not Gomer, you know, you can raise your hand. But that was a picture of God's unfailing love for Israel. And so have three kids. The wife goes off, abandons the family, and she goes chasing off after wealth and riches and fame and all of the things that she thinks that other men are going to be able to provide for her, until one day all of her beauty is used up. She's traumatized. She's reduced. And in those days, they would literally sell people on the slave market if they were no longer of any value to them. And that's where Hosea found Gomer. And Hosea went, and like Jesus would for us spiritually, Gomer went and paid the price, or Hosea went and paid the price and purchased Gomer, not as a possession, but as a restored bride. And I never forgot that professor. He was one of my favorite college professors, and I never forgot that the lesson of that book, to the point that before I ever asked my wife to marry me, I had to ask myself this question: do I love her as much as Hosea loved his wife? If she ever was unfaithful, would I be able to love her the way that Hosea loved his wife? And I'm very thankful that my wife is a faithful woman of God. She loves Jesus. She's great at everything that she does. And I'm so thankful that we have decades together, that God has kept us through difficult seasons and challenging seasons and good seasons, and we're blessed. But I want you to know, I'm persuaded that there's nothing that is going to be able to separate my love from her. And so when you're persuaded that you're going to love somebody no matter what happens, it's a whole different standard than what the world has. The world's philosophy is when the going gets tough, you know, abandon ship. That's not the motto that they use. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. But in reality, a lot of times people say, oh man, I hit a bump in the road. I don't know how to handle that. And the next thing you know, they're gone. John would write in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he'd write about people who were once part of the church. He said, but we know that they weren't part of us because they ended up abandoning us. They came, they liked the neighborhood, they liked the company, they liked the fellowship and all that, but at some point in time, they liked other things more than they liked being around believers. Paul had his own fair share of people who had forsaken him, had loved the pleasures of this world. I hope today that you are persuaded that as far as you're concerned, there's nothing that is going to separate you from the love of God. I hope you have come too far, you've seen too much of the goodness of God, and you have discovered the truth that no one is going to be able to treat you better than what God has. Well, let's look at a couple of these things. They come together in some groupings, and so it says, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that the life that I live, or, you know, the day that death comes, that God is, I'm going to be in love with God. God's going to continue to love me. He's going to continue loving me in life, and he will continue at death. Now, I want to tell you this. A lot of people are okay with the life part, but there are a lot of people who are holding grudges against God because someone that they loved is no longer here. Now they're in the presence of God, hopefully, or because not everyone who dies goes to heaven. I hate to be the one that bears that news to you, but there are two eternal destinies. One is eternity with Jesus. One is eternity without Jesus. And Jesus wants everybody with him, but he created us with a freedom to choose. And so I encourage you, choose Jesus. So I'm persuaded that when my mother died, as much as I loved her, she's better in the presence of Jesus than she is here on this earth. The fact that she passed away so quickly after fighting so valiantly was not proof that God didn't love me. In fact, the life that she lived over the last several decades was proof that Jesus did love. And so I'm persuaded that it doesn't matter what happens, who dies, who lives, it doesn't matter. I know this, Jesus loves me. So, and the way that I came to grips with it is, you know, my dad was the love of her life. Jesus was the love of her eternity. She's better off with him. So I hope your love for Jesus is not based upon the events of life. The next ones, no, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Whatever messenger, whatever principality, a principality is an area in which a prince would rule. It's a governing agent. It's over a region. And traditionally, whenever that term is used, it is used of a demonic stronghold. It goes on, and there's also the word powers there, which is comes from the word dunamis, and talking about abilities or works or miracles, that there's no messenger from heaven or no power in hell or any deceptive signs or wonders or miracles that happen or miracles that don't occur. My love for God is anchored in my relationship with him, not anything else. And so Paul would write to the churches, and he'd say, look, even if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, don't be deceived by it. So the next couple talks about nor things present, nor things to come. So let me say this about that last point. No, I hope that you are persuaded that no one or nothing, holy or unholy, will separate you from the love of God. And that includes people too, by the way. Don't let people interfere with your relationship with Jesus. Nor things present, nor things to come. Let me backtrack just a minute, because there was something I wanted to say. A lot of times people are okay with people being promoted into the presence of Jesus. Sometimes it's the life part that gets in the way. Okay. Now, we all have responsibilities in life. I'm not talking about shirking responsibility, but a lot of our life, we think that it's all work related. Work actually makes up about 25%, maybe a little over. Work makes up about 25% of our life. So there's a lot of other life that interferes. And so there are people who, because of their pursuits, the things that they spend their time on. Someone said, you show me your calendar, you show me your agenda, you show me your checkbook, and I'll tell you what your priorities are. And so a lot of times it's not the separation part. It's the fact that we get distracted by the cares of this life. And Paul said, I'm not going to get distracted by the things here. So things present nor things to come. No dimension of time is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. And so what he's saying is nothing that I'm going to face today and nothing I'm going to face in the future is ever going to elevate itself to a place of preeminence to where it demands my allegiance more than God. Next one, nor height nor depth, nothing relative to space or positioning. You know, I tell people, I grew up, I hated rejection. I really did. I experienced a lot of rejection, was told I wasn't good enough on a lot of occasions in life. And, I just hated rejection. There was a time I sent out, 200 resumes, all over the country, looking, just knocking on doors. God, where do you want me and my wife to serve? And there were positions that I had, and they said, your services are no longer required. There were jobs I applied for that they said, you're not eligible either. You're not qualified for this position. Sometimes I would hear, you're too qualified for this position. That one there, I always thought that was a ridiculous reason not to hire somebody. I heard a story one time of a guy who had worked for someone else, had moved on, had been promoted, and the person that he used to work for came and applied for a job with him, and he said, I don't have a position for you, but I'm going to hire you anyway because you're so good at what you do. And that person ended up becoming his boss once again down the road. I hope that you are not basing your understanding of God's love on whether you are in the heights of exaltation and joy, or if you are in the depths of the valley of the shadow of death, or you're dealing with discouragement. Maybe you're going through a spiritual low at this point in time. I want to remind you that the love of God is still on the throne. Paul concludes this delineation of various things, and he says, nor any other created thing. Do not allow anything created to become of greater importance in your life than the one who created that thing, the creator of your soul. One of my favorite titles for God that means a lot to me is he's the lover of my soul. He loves me. You know, when I think back to Children's Church, which was a lot of years ago, I got grandkids. I got a phone call here not too long ago. One of my grandkids was saying, hey, you know, I just got my learner's permit. And it's like, oh man, time is flying quickly. There is nothing that has ever been created that is of greater worth than God, our creator. And I'm so thankful that he loves us. You know, when he created, you know, the earth and the animals and the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars and created the land and the water, he looked at all that and he said, it's good. But when he created Adam and Eve, and he said, it's very good. Please understand, Jesus did not go to the cross because he was bored. He went to the cross because he loves you and he loves me and he loves those around us. He loves in a tangible way. He loves perfectly. And I hope that like Paul, we can all say, I am persuaded that nothing, not even any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The devil tells you, God hates you, God's mad at you, God's looking to destroy you. I want you to understand, the devil's a liar. He's always been a liar. The truth of the matter is this, God loves you. He loves you where you are. He also loves you too much to leave you that way. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.